Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy 12 Kyle. Thank you for tapping in. This is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection of conversation from the 80s, 90s, and the 2000s when it comes to hip-hop, R&B, rap, and soul music. This is the best music podcast you've never heard until right now. Again, thanks for tapping in. What I want to talk about on this episode is an idea that I didn't even come up with. Shout out to my boy King Germ from one of my favorite podcasts, Podden Saved Our Marriage. Make sure you check their podcast out. King Germ does a podcast with his wife, Queen Germ. Earlier this evening, Germ hit me up on the phone and he said, "Hey, 12 Kyle, I got a great idea for an episode that you should do." And I said, "Well, what you got in mind?" And he said, he relayed to me the fact that there are some people in hip hop that hip hop owes an apology to. And at that point, it caught my attention because he's right. There are several people in hip hop that hip hop owes an apology to. And, we started kicking around the idea and I said, okay, yeah, I'll definitely talk about that. And again, I got to thank Germ because this wasn't an idea that I came up with, but, there are people who have been, not necessarily celebrated, in some ways ridiculed, made fun of, disrespected, and a myriad of things in hip hop, and undeservedly so. And on this episode, what I'm going to do is bring to you five people, as well as one honorable mention, five people in hip hop who I think hip hop owes an apology to. And these are no particular order. As someone like me who is a hip hop fan, I've been listening to hip hop probably a lot longer than most of you who are listening. I want to say I started listening to rap at the time, somewhere around 1983-1984. At the time of this recording, I'm 52 years old, so I've literally been listening to rap music not since day one, but close enough to day one. I do remember the Sugar Hill Gang. I do remember Grandmaster Flash and Melly Mel, but rap wasn't something I was listening to on a day-to-day basis, probably not until I started hearing Run DMC. So I go way back. So even in saying that, in so many words, I know what I'm talking about, right? Am I the guru of hip hop? Probably not, but I'm pretty close to it. Nonetheless, here are some people that I think hip hop owes an apology to. And I think some of you may owe an apology to some of these people. And if you do, apologize, because they are worthy of an apology. With that being said, I will begin. Again, these are in no particular order. First up, Eric Lynn Wright, aka Eazy-E from NWA. Rest in peace, first and foremost, to the great Eazy-E. I think hip hop owes an apology to Eazy-E. And the reason why I say that is because I was around. I was outside when NWA came out. I was outside when Eazy-E came out in 1987. I'll never forget my homeboy Jay Fresh. Shout out to Fresh. Fresh gave me copy of the NWA and the Posse tape. And on that tape, it was some guys from LA. I'd never heard of these guys. I don't even know how he found that tape. But he put me on that tape, and that tape led me to listen to them. And it led me to listen to Eazy-E, because Easy Does It came out in 1988, the greatest year in hip hop. And then subsequently, NWA would release Straight Outta Compton, their debut album, later that year in 1988. But the reason why I think hip-hop owes Eazy-E an apology is because when Eazy-E came out, he was blamed for gangster rap. Now, be clear. What we deemed to be gangster at the time was kind of like what they were rapping about. But here's the thing. Was Eazy-E the reason for gangster rap? No, because there were people, quite honestly, who had been rapping some of the ghetto street tales that Eazy-E was rapping about prior to Eazy-E. But most people will refer to Eazy-E as the godfather of gangster rap. And that's cool. The flip side of it is that being called the godfather of gangster rap is a compliment for most. But there's a segment of society that hated Eazy-E. And they hated NWA. And they blamed gangster rap on any and everything. Now, if you were around in the 80s, you know, first and foremost, Eazy-E and NWA are from LA. If you were around and around that time, you know that the gang violence, Bloods and Crips were on fire, literally. I mean, like, the streets of LA were on fire. I don't know how many. I mean, you can Google it, but, like, I think in the mid to late 80s, there were more bodies dropping in Los Angeles and metro LA from gang violence than ever before and ever recorded in a period of time. And so what Eazy-E always said was they were reality rap, and they were just rapping about the stuff that they saw and the stuff that they went through. Ice Cube always talks about how, like, they were, you know, just guys who had their ears to the streets, and they were reporting what they were witnessing on the streets of LA. And so Eazy-E really caught a bad rap, so to speak, because, like, again, while his music was in your face, his music was homophobic, it was misogynistic, it was violent, it was very scary at times. And also, it was a jam. And it was also funny. And it was also music that I think, even for someone who was as young as I was at the time, could differentiate between what's reality and what's not reality. And I think Eazy-E caught a bad rap because I think, in a lot of ways, his music, or gangster music in particular, really was blamed for a lot of the violence that we saw and heard about in Los Angeles. Now, keep in mind, I didn't grow up in Los Angeles. I grew up in Florence, South Carolina. And so when I would hear about the violence, it would always be on the national news. Never, none of that stuff was never covered. I mean, because why would someone in South Carolina be talking about, you know, the gang violence in LA? But on the national news. And I mean, like, when Tom Brokaw of NBC is leading off the national news talking about, you know, 13 people got killed the night before in LA, you know, it's a problem. But slowly but surely, particularly on the political sense, they moved it from, instead of looking at the reasons why there were gangs or reasons why the violence was increased or reasons why they could probably look at stopping it, they said, no, we're going to point at this guy. We're going to point at this guy and his group, and we're going to single them out. And again, while Eazy-E never, I think, really got the fair shake that he should have gotten, because he took the brunt of all of that. Now, Eazy-E is also a smart businessman. Eazy-E understood that, you know, any publicity is good publicity. And so they kind of rode the wave of that. But I don't think, you know, not only, I mean, being called the godfather of rap is a good thing. The godfather of gangster rap is a good thing. But being blamed for the ills of society, for crimes that were committed in, you know, in certain communities, I don't think that was cool. And I think hip hop and society owes Eazy-E an apology. Next up, and again, these are no particular order. Hip hop owes an apology to Jeffrey Atkins Sr., a.k.a. Ja Rule. Ja Rule came onto the scene, I want to say, in like 1999. I remember his first album. It did come out in 1999. Vinny Vetti Vici. And Ja Rule had a smash on his hands. He released that album. Then he released Rule 336 in 2000, and that album went like four times platinum. Then he released Pain Is Love. That went three times platinum. The first album went platinum as well. And then by, 2002, he had released The Last Temptation, and that was another platinum album. But a weird thing happened between 2002 and 2003. Ja Rule, probably the better part of the early 2000s, there was a public beef that Ja Rule had going on with a young up-and-coming rapper from Southside Queens named 50 Cent. And Ja Rule and 50 Cent did not like each other. Ja Rule and 50 Cent actually are probably two of the few rappers who've had beef that have gotten into a physical confrontation. Blows were thrown. And so to say that they don't like each other is an understatement. However, 50 was the new hot and upcoming rapper. Ja Rule was the rapper who was on the charts, who was singing on his records. Unlike any other rapper had been singing, he was singing on hooks. He had the charts on lock. He was on the rap charts. He was on the R&B charts. And 50 Cent really came on the scene and just basically, because he was the hot rapper, he really publicly questioned people as to why they would be or why they should be listening to Ja Rule. His personal beef became the public's beef. And we watched and sat on the sidelines and watched 50 Cent publicly turn the public against Ja Rule. To my knowledge, Ja Rule didn't do anything to anybody. And so I think hip hop owes Ja Rule an apology. I mean, like, think about all the stuff that Ja Rule has done, all of the records he's made, all the songs and the artists that he's worked with thus far in his career. What has he done wrong? Other than the Firefest thing. The Firefest, you know, that's something different, right? But hip hop wise, Ja Rule has been pretty much a model citizen. You know, I mean, he's had a few dust ups with the law, but who hasn't, right? My point in saying this is that I think hip hop owes Ja Rule an apology because 50 was able to turn folks against Ja Rule, and everything that 50 said that Ja Rule was doing that wasn't hip hop, he ended up doing. So, case in point, I remember that 50 Cent was very critical about Ja Rule singing on hooks of his songs. And prior to that, you know, really, you didn't hear rappers really singing on hooks. Rappers normally would get other people to sing on the hooks. I mean, the greatest hook man in rap history is Nate Dogg, right? Rest in peace. So if you didn't get Nate Dogg to sing on your hook, you probably got a woman to sing on your hook if you were in hip hop. But Ja Rule sang on some of his own hooks on some of his biggest records. And it wasn't like he's, you know, you're not going to confuse him with Stevie Wonder or Luther Vandross, but Ja Rule was a rapper who was singing on the hooks. And it sounded good, and it was a jam, and it was Ja Rule created songs that everybody listened to. And 50 Cent pretty much came out and said, nah, that's whack. That's not something you should do. You should not be listening to him. You should be listening to me. And again, because he was, when 50 Cent's album, Get Rich or Die Trying, hit the streets, it was the hottest thing ever, literally and figuratively. And so people stopped rocking with Ja Rule. And subsequently, when Ja Rule dropped, because 50 Cent's album dropped, Get Rich or Die Trying, I want to say dropped in February of 2003. Ja Rule drops Blood in My Eye in November of 2003, later that year. That album only sells 470,000 copies. 50 Cent basically punched a hole in Ja Rule's balloon and all the air went out. And subsequently, I don't think Ja Rule has had a platinum album since then. No, he has not. I'm looking at it now. He hasn't. And so I think hip hop owes Ja Rule an apology. He didn't do anything wrong. Y'all, you allowed 50 Cent to turn you against Ja Rule because he had a beef with Ja Rule. He basically drew a line in the sand and said, hey, if you like me, and everybody liked 50 because he was the guy coming out. If you like me, you can't like him. And it subsequently ruined everything for Ja Rule. And I think y'all owe Ja Rule an apology. More specifically, I think hip hop owes Ja Rule an apology. Let's continue. The next person, Luther Roderick Campbell. You know him better known as, some know him as Uncle Luke. Some know him as Luther Campbell. Or if you're like me, you go way back with Uncle Luke, you know him as Luke Skywalker from the 2 Live Crew. I think hip hop owes Uncle Luke an apology. I think Uncle Luke is never recognized as a pioneer that he is. Uncle Luke kicked down many doors, blazed many trails for artists who don't even sniff the success that they have if it had not been for Uncle Luke. Now, granted, Uncle Luke's music was sexist, it was misogynistic, it was homophobic, it was a little bit of everything. It was nasty, it was vulgar, it was, you know, laced with profanity, and it jammed. It jammed. And even looking back on it, a young 12 Kyle probably should not have been listening to any of those songs. But I mean, if you can be Uncle Luke and do what Uncle Luke does, why not? But I think hip hop owes Uncle Luke an apology. Uncle Luke, I think, like I said, blazed many trails. If for nothing else, Uncle Luke had an album that was deemed to be obscene. And subsequently, it was hit with a sticker. And on the sticker, it says parental advisory content. Prior to Uncle Luke doing that, there had been no other album in the history of music, hip hop or any other genre, that had been labeled parental advisory, meaning that if you weren't a certain age, you couldn't even purchase the album. And then he had one album that was banned in stores, meaning that if you weren't 17, you couldn't even buy the album. So Uncle Luke did a lot. And I think because of the nature and the sound of his music and what he was rapping about, I don't think he gets the love or respect that he should, because, you know, people, for lack of a better term, didn't care about it, or they dismissed it, I should say. Hip hop dismissed it because it didn't look and sound like Run DMC. It didn't look and sound like LL. It didn't look and sound like Salt-N-Pepa. It was Luke and 2 Live Crew, and they were vulgar and they were obscene and they were all of these bad things. And I mean, you could take that for whatever it's worth. I liked it, but I also understood that it's a form of entertainment for those who want to be entertained by that type of music. Was it groundbreaking? No. Did they make, you know, did Uncle Luke and 2 Live Crew ever say, you know, the most wickedest bars you've ever heard? No. Did they ever give you a hip hop quotable? Hell no. But what they did was they provided jams, and Uncle Luke specifically, he took a lot of heat in rap for those who would come behind him. Now, most people don't even know about the little sticker on the albums because you don't buy albums anymore. There's probably, I don't even know that there's any type of notification that, hey, this album contains explicit language, because everything's explicit now. You'd be hard pressed to find anybody that does clean music. But Uncle Luke did that. And I think hip hop definitely owes him an apology because he kicked down a lot of doors and nobody said thank you. They just walked right in those doors. He blazed a lot of trails and everybody walked down those trails and never said thank you. You owe Uncle Luke an apology, hip hop. You should apologize. Now it's time for a quick commercial break. On the other side of the break, I'll give you two more as well as an honorable mention. Sit tight. We'll be back in just a second. If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast. Hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shape the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul podcast and enjoy the vibes. And just like that, we are back. Once again, it's your boy 12 Kyle. This is the Rap Soul podcast. And we're talking about who hip hop owes an apology to. Now, before the break, I told you about Eazy-E. I told you about Ja Rule. And I told you about Uncle Luke. And I'm going to give you two more and then an honorable mention before we get out of here. Next up, again, in no particular order, two people that hip hop owes an apology to: Antoine Patton Sr. and Andre Benjamin, better known as Outkast. Outkast arguably is one of the greatest hip hop groups ever. Period. Nothing else to say. And where you rank them on your hip hop list really doesn't matter to me one way or the other. Personally, I'm a huge fan. It's one of my favorite groups, period. I love all of their music, and they represent the town and the city where I live, Atlanta. But I think hip-hop owes Outkast an apology. More specifically, New Yorkers and the other hip-hoppers from the mid-90s. You all know about what happened at the Source Music Awards in 1995. Outkast had just won an award for the best new artist. They come up on stage and they're being pelted with boos from the crowd at the Apollo Theater. And Andre 3000 nervously and cautiously grabs the microphone and says, you know, South got something to say. That's all I got to say. And the South has been speaking and talking and winning ever since he made that statement back in 1995. But again, they were voted and won the best newcomer of the year. Now, here's the thing. I don't think people recognize just how dope that first album from Outkast was. The album was called Southern Playlist at Cadillac Music. It was released in 1994. I can make the case very easily that it is the second best album in 1994, right behind Illmatic. Argue with your mama. But you got to remember, in 1994, Illmatic came out from Nas. You had Ready to Die from the Notorious B.I.G., The Diary from Scarface, Regulate, G-Funk Era from Warren G., Hard to Earn from Gangstar, The Main Ingredient from Pete Rock and CL Smooth. What else? Resurrection from Common, The Sun Rises in the East, J. Ruta Damager. Tikal from Method Man, his debut album. There Is a Dark Side, Redman's second album. Blowout Cone from Diggable Planets. The list goes on and on. Oh, Funk the World from Craig Mack, rest in peace. And Funkified by The Brat. So those are some heavy hitters. Those are some great albums. I don't think I missed anybody. There's a lot to unpack as far as that particular year. You also had the Southern rap group UGK to drop Super Tight. So it was a lot of competition. But here's the thing. The Source voted Outkast the best newcomer of the year in that particular year on that album. And it beat out Biggie. It beat out Nas. And you say what you want, but I think hip-hop really was not ready to open their ears, more specifically New York, because at the time a lot of New Yorkers and I can say this because I was outside and I was in college at the time and I went to school with a lot of cats from New York, they weren't trying to hear no super lyrical rap dudes from the South, more specifically Atlanta, and these dudes could rap their asses off. That was the difference. And I'm not saying that we didn't have rappers in the South prior to Outkast coming out in 1994, but the thing is that they were just on a different vibe and a different level. And I take nothing away from UGK. I take nothing away from Ghetto Boys or, you know, Uncle Luke or anybody else who came prior to Outkast arriving on the scene in 1994. But I think hip hop owes Outkast an apology for that particular night because they were recognized for something that they did that was incredible. They were the newcomers of the year. And no, they weren't Keith Murray, who also dropped an album that year. They weren't Redman. They weren't Method Man. They weren't Nas. They weren't anybody. They were just outcasts. They were two dudes from Atlanta, Georgia, who could rap their asses off. And hip-hop didn't recognize them as that. The Source did that night, but hip-hop didn't. And it took a few more years and a few more albums, really, for Outkast to be recognized and get the recognition and the respect that they damn well deserved at that particular time. So, no. Hip hop, you owe Outkast an apology for that particular night. And you also owe Outkast a debt of gratitude because you really put the battery in their back and they went harder. And as they went harder, other Southern acts went even harder. And the South, Atlanta in particular, got even closer and tighter. And then they started on their run. And their run has lasted for the better part of the last, 20 years or so? But no, hip hop, you owe Outkast an apology. That disrespect at the Source Awards was terrible. But even outside of the Source Awards, Outkast in 1994 was not respected. They were not. Again, I can make a case that is I've heard people call it a classic album. While I won't call it a classic album, it's a 4.5 mic album. There's no doubt about that. That album is cold, and it's still cold to this day. But hip-hop kind of brushed them off. I don't think people really in hip-hop started appreciating Outkast until the third album. but by then, they were superstars by then. And it was like, oh, okay, yeah, y'all can rap. Come on, y'all can hang with us. Too late. Too late. Hip-hop, you owe Outkast an apology. Next up. And I saved this one for last, and because, again, it was in no particular order, but it really could have been first. Hip-hop, you owe an apology to Stanley Burrell, a.k.a. MC Hammer. You can't touch this. MC Hammer may be the most disrespected figure in hip-hop history. MC Hammer blazed a trail and opened doors for almost every rapper that you see of today. The problem is that Hammer garnered a lot of success and people hated on Hammer for being successful. Hammer made a lot of money. People hated on Hammer for making money. Listen to what I just said. People hated on Hammer because he had commercial success and he garnered a lot of money. In what world do you get mad at somebody for making money? He wasn't hurting anybody. He wasn't saying anything controversial. His music was could be played at a high school game. It could be played at church. Hammer was just that person, and everybody knew Hammer. It didn't matter if you're white, black, Mexican, no matter what, Asian, everybody knew you can't touch this. And here's the other thing that people never talk about. That album, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him, everybody had that album. That album sold like 12 million copies. Every single person that I know had that album. I mean, like, it's unreal. And people just really just shitted on Hammer like he was a bum. Now, Hammer lost his money, and that's a whole nother case for something else. But Hammer had success. And since when do you look down on someone who has commercial success? Hammer had, he had Hammer pants. He had a TV show. He had a cartoon. He had Hammer cereal. He had commercials. Hammer did everything. He was a pitch man for a lot of companies. And I mean, like, people in hip hop treated Hammer like that was something wrong to do. Like, you wasn't supposed to want to make money. And I get it. Here's the thing. For a long time, especially in its infancy, hip hop wasn't about making money. It was about, you know, getting heard on the radio, getting airplay. It was, that's what it was about. So I get and I understand if you come from that perspective. However, to ridicule, to persecute, and to just all out defame someone for being successful commercially, it's not cool. Hip hop owes Hammer a huge debt of gratitude and a huge apology. Hammer was the one who opened the doors for MTV, for artists, for rap artists to get played on MTV. Because here's the thing, nobody was, outside of Run DMC, nobody was really checking for, you know, artists like that on MTV. And I'm not talking about just on Rap City. Hammer could get airplay right behind, I don't know, Van Halen. His videos could get played right behind Van Halen, which no other hip hop artist could say at the time. And Hammer put on a show. When you went to a Hammer show, you got a show. Hammer wasn't one of those people walking back and forth with the microphone, cussing, grabbing his nuts, nothing like that. Hammer was about a good time. And when you saw Hammer on stage, you had a good time. Hammer, other than the Funky Headhunter album, you never even seen Hammer not smile. Hammer had, like, he was always smiling. He was always in a good mood. He was always cheerful. Hammer is, he's one of the few people in hip hop, and I say this honestly and sincerely, he's one of the few people in hip hop like I would really genuinely love to sit down and have a conversation with. Because he's such an interesting figure. And I found it interesting that a couple of years ago when hip hop was celebrating its 50th birthday, and you had all of these celebrations and all of these dedications and events and stuff, concerts and stuff, where was Hammer? Hammer was nowhere to be found. Now, I found out later that Hammer was invited to almost all of these things and Hammer turned it down. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him because, like, they shitted on him back in the day. Not everybody, but a lot of people did. And even a lot of his comrades in the rap game. You know, there were people that talk trash about Hammer. And trust me, Hammer ain't somebody you want to talk trash about. Because Hammer and his people will see you in them streets. Don't get it twisted. Don't think the baggy pants. Hammer was gangster. So I'll just leave it at that. I mean, you can go YouTube Hammer and some of his gangsterisms. And you'll get some stories. But besides all of that, I mean, again, it was just disrespect, man. I mean, Hammer, I think, should have been, you know, he should be looked at as a pioneer. He should be looked at as someone who garners respect and love. And I hope Hammer understands that, you know, there's a legion of people, myself included, who love Hammer. I love seeing him perform. I loved, you know, his albums. And I love going back and watching the videos, man, because they always put a smile on my face because Hammer was smiling. He always had a good time. And I think, you know, he's one of those people, man, that I think hip hop really should give their flowers to. And don't get it twisted. Hammer is in his 60s now. Hammer can still dance. I've seen some videos of Hammer recently. Hammer can still dance. Hammer, you could put Hammer on any of these award shows and he would turn this mother out. And last but not least, honorable mention who hip-hop should owe an apology to. And some people may not give this guy an apology. J. Cole. Jermaine Cole, one of the best young MCs in the game right now. I don't know if I should call him young because he's a little bit older than what he used to be. But J. Cole, I think, is a phenomenal MC. One of the best. Definitely one of the best. I like listening to his music. I think he's a solid dude. As many of you know, J. Cole was last year, J. Cole was in a situation where he and Drake referred to themselves as the big three on a record. Kendrick Lamar, someone who J. Cole, at least from what I can tell, is very cordial with. I'm not going to call them friends, but they're cool associates. I'll say that. Kendrick Lamar said, no, it's not a big three, it's just big me. And he took offense to the fact that J. Cole would say that. Even though he and J. Cole have, you know, like I said, I think they've done songs together. There's been talk about them doing a joint album, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. And Drake and J. Cole took offense to it. J. Cole dissed Kendrick Lamar, and so did J. Cole. And when J. Cole dissed Kendrick Lamar, he put the record out, and the record was out maybe 48 hours, and he went on stage and he apologized to his audience, saying that he couldn't sleep and he was stepping out of that beef because he didn't want anything to do with it. He loved Kendrick Lamar. He gave him all the kudos, and he said, hey, man, if you want to take a shot at me, go ahead. He said, my chin is out. You can take a shot at me. I shouldn't have said what I said on that record. And subsequently pulled the record off like streaming platforms and everything. And so a lot of people went at J. Cole, and they were saying that J. Cole was a coward. He was a punk. He shouldn't have backed out. And then there's some that said, you know, after seeing what happened, after seeing the carnage that was left, after seeing the carnage that was left of Drake after Kendrick Lamar finished with him, some people said, hey, you know what? J. Cole didn't make a bad move by bowing out of that beef. I'm sure he sleeps well at night and he's doing fine mentally. His mental health is much better, that he did not have to get those bars that Drake got. So that bears the question, does hip hop owe an apology to J. Cole? Some will say that J. Cole is owed an apology because, of the vitriol that he received when he backed out of the beef. Others will say, no, he doesn't deserve an apology, but he cannot be mentioned amongst the greats. Where people fit, I don't know. I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm not mad at him for bowing out. I just don't think like you can put out that song and then back away from it. Because once you put it out, it's almost like saying something. Once you say something, it's said. You can't put it back in your mouth. And so I get where Cole is coming from. But I think when Cole gets back in the booth and he starts rapping, he can't mention or try to convince people that he's one of the greats, because he had a chance to be in something, a huge battle, and he bowed out. You know, he was Trey in Boys in the Hood. He was Trey in Boys in the Hood. He asked Doughboy to let him get out the car. Let me out, Dough. Let me out, Dough. And I know King Germ's gonna hit it, because Germ loves J. Cole. And so I know Germ is not happy with this, but hey, Germ, it is what it is. I told you this before. I mean, so there are some people that owe J. Cole an apology. I'm not one that's gonna give him an apology. I think he did the smart thing by bowing out of the beef. But I also think like he probably should have never made that song, because you knew what that little dude from Compton was capable of. And I don't think Drake knew what that dude from Compton was capable of. And he found out. He found out quickly. And he found out repeatedly. And he's going to continue to find out should he say anything else about Kendrick Lamar. In conclusion, hip-hop in its purest form is great. I think hip hop also has to do a better job of, you know, looking itself in the mirror and being very critical of what it does or what it doesn't do. And like I said from the beginning, it's okay to apologize sometimes. Sometimes you're wrong. And I think for Eazy-E, for Ja Rule, for Uncle Luke, for Big Boy and Dre, for MC Hammer, and possibly J. Cole, hip hop was wrong. And at the end of the day, it takes a bigger person to understand when you're wrong and just say, you know what? Hey, what? You know what? I'm going to tell you this. I apologize. And when someone apologizes, it evens everything out. Now, I don't know that these people are necessarily going around looking for an apology, but an apology would be a great place to start, because I think it's owed, and I think hip hop would be better off once they recognize what they did wrong and rectify it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. I am your boy 12 Kyle. This has been another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. Again, this is the intersection of conversation about rap, soul, hip hop, and R&B from the 80s, 90s, and the 2000s. This is the best music podcast that you've ever heard. Again, I want to thank you all for tapping in. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching. Be sure to subscribe. We have a YouTube channel, Rap Soul Podcast. Hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, hit the notification button. That way you get notified when we drop episodes. If you're on social media, follow us on social media at Rap Soul Podcast. We're on Twitter X, Blue Sky, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. If you'd like to contribute to the podcast, you can hit us up on Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. Be sure to support the flagship station. It is called the 12 Kyle Podcast. The 12 Kyle Podcast drops every Thursday at midnight, and we also drop bonus episodes on Sundays at midnight. And just keep supporting and keep supporting, and we will appreciate it. Again, that's going to do it for me. I am your boy 12 Kyle with another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast, talking about who hip hop owes an apology to. That's going to do it for me. I'll catch you guys next time. 5 G's. Cheer.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media, and feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.